Amen. So our new Bible study is the book of Jude. So as you could probably imagine, it's going to be a pretty long Bible study. Now we're going to hit this in one day today. So it's a nice little just one chapter that is pretty fitting, isn't it, right now? Pretty fitting. So let's get started with verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So Jude, along with James, is likely the half-brother of Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn to Matthew 13:55. Said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? So Jude being short for Judas. Now some believe it's written by the other Judas, not Iscariot, of the 12. Either way, doesn't really matter because it's written by God, isn't it? And God writing says, he's writing it to all believers, doesn't he? So he says here, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. I really like that terminology, preserved in Jesus Christ, okay? That's we are preserved, aren't we? We are preserved, yeah? Eternal security, we are preserved. And it is like similar terminology to that being sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, yeah? When you preserve something, you seal it usually, don't you? And in the same way, we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, he does say, and called here. And called here is either from 2 Peter 1:3 when he says we're called to glory and virtue. But obviously we are all, every man in the world at the beginning has been called, haven't they, to faith. You know, John 12:32 says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Okay, and we are all called, but sadly few are chosen, and that's due to their faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Okay, verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And that's a nice prayer, isn't it, Elders are for all believers. Now look at verse 3 here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, you of the common salvation is obviously another way of saying to you believers. Turn quickly to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 4 says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. It's common because it's shared by all that are saved, okay? That's what he's talking about. It's a common faith shared by everyone here that is saved. There is only one way, isn't there? There's only one way. That's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and faith in that alone. Now, this message coming is needful. It's important, okay? This is what he's saying here. It's needful. Now, what he says here, if you're back in, sorry, come away from Titus there. If you're back in Jude, he says here, he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So he's encouraging them, isn't he? He's inciting them to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what does earnestly contend mean? Earnestly is zealously, eagerly, with real desire. Contend is to strive or fight. Now, we should eagerly fight for the faith. And it is a fight, isn't it? It is a fight. And I think this week, hopefully some people have realised that we are in a fight. Yeah, this is a battle. Okay, it's not just, you know, church social club and we can all have fun and go back the rest of the week. We're in a battle here. We're in a war. Okay, and that's why there's so much in the Old Testament is about the warfare, isn't it? Which is a picture of our New Testament spiritual battles. Okay, and we are in a fight, and we need to realize that. Turn to Philippians 1 while I read 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before in thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Okay? We have to war a good warfare. Philippians chapter 1 and from verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to strive together as a team, don't we? We're a team here. Strive to get the truth out. Verse 28 says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. And there are many adversaries, aren't there? There are many adversaries to what we're doing as a church in this country, yeah, as a real church in this country. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he's not talking about salvation there, is he? He's not talking about, oh, well, I've kept the faith to salvation. He's talking about fighting for the faith. He's talking about the faith of the Bible, going out, preaching the gospel, planting churches, fighting against the many, many adversaries. Now, we've just read, obviously, which was once delivered unto the saints. Okay, it's not talking about a process for salvation. But he's talking about keeping fighting until the end. Church isn't a country club get-together. Okay, and we need to understand that, because you go to many bad churches and false churches, and it is, isn't it? It's a little social club where people meet up, feel good about themselves, have a little sing-song, listen to some bad preaching, and go home. Okay, and that's pretty much most churches around the country, isn't it? Okay, but and we could kind of be a bit conditioned by that, just kind of assuming that's church, isn't it? But it's not. We're in a war, and this is battle headquarters, isn't it? And sadly, we'll have infiltrators come into battle headquarters, won't we? And we are all in a war. And the thing is we all, every single person in this room, has to understand that and appreciate that. Because it's very easy to just start going back to the worldly view on things. Oh, there's just kind of annoying people and some people are a bit funny. No, we are in a war. We're in a spiritual war. This is a battle. This is a fight. And everyone needs to get that in the head. Man, woman, child, in this room, you're in a battle. And we need everyone sharp for that battle. Okay, verse 4, he says in Jude there. Verse 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's just said it was needful for Jude to write unto them, us really, to encourage us to fight for the faith, for the reason there are certain men crept in unawares. That's why he's writing. That's why it's needful. That's why he's exhorting them. Did he say there are certain men that bulldozed their way in? No, he didn't, did he? They crept in unawares. So many, many people weren't aware of them, right? Many people weren't aware of them. And that's not a slight on those people that weren't aware of them. Okay, that's the nature of these people that creep in unawares. And amen, we have a great recent example to use. So thank you, VJ. Thank you very much if you watch this. Thank you, because you've given this church a great example now, a great just picture of the men that creep in unawares. And we can now assess this, look at this, get stronger from it. So thank you very much. It's very handy how these things work out. Now, in case you're thinking, you're sitting there thinking, well, his creeping wasn't very good. I mean, he lasted all but about a month. What a bad creeper. Well, remember, this guy was creeping in over 3 years ago. Okay, he was creeping in over 3 years ago, UK soul winning, and he was creeping around at Nyoath, wasn't he? Okay, he's creeping around there. And there are different styles and skill levels of creepers. Okay, there are different styles, we're going to see that in a minute, and there's different skill levels of creepers. But VJ did claim to believe in a flat earth years ago, and was stirring up strife on a UK soul-winning group chat, okay? So he already had history of this. This isn't new stuff. VJ claimed to be a flat earther and was stirring up strife, arguments rousing. He was kicked off it twice, I believe. Now, you're probably thinking, well, this is a pretty low-level infiltrator. Yeah, isn't this a low-level infiltrator? Well, he was a big part of the Nyoath formation, wasn't he? He was a big part of that. He was encouraging people that this was the only church right with God in the whole country when it started. I've seen these messages say something along those lines. And he did pull some well-intentioned brothers and sisters over to a false church, didn't he? Okay, and some lasted there for years, some didn't last as long. But he did create, or was part of, a big split in amongst the, what was it, 56 or something soul winners that were on that first mega marathon in this country. And there was a split soon after that, which he was a big part of. Okay, so he'd already done some good work there, hadn't he, if you look at it that way. Now, he then tried to use his so-called exposing of Salaam, which he keeps telling us he didn't want the credit for, but he was instrumental in it, as some sort of peace offering to access our church. And like he told me on a message, I didn't need anything to access. Well, no, you kind of did, because we're already aware of what VJ had done a few years before. Okay, so VJ then kind of comes with an olive branch of look what I've done, you know, I'm getting right with God, I've exposed him, just to take a bit of heat off him, didn't he? So when he came here, instead of us thinking literally follow everything he does, it just maybe just made us a little bit less wary of him, maybe. Okay, and he didn't know how much we still thought about what had happened 3 years ago, and he didn't know whether he would have even been let in. So it was quite handy. Okay, you might be thinking, but he failed. He failed, didn't he? He lasted about a month. Yeah, he is a pretty pathetic low-level wolf, let's be honest, okay? He is a pathetic low-level wolf. He's like the lame one in the pack, okay? He is, he's like that lame wolf that's kind of got a couple of bad paws. That's the truth, isn't it? Because he could not last even a month here because of his own massive issues with pride and submittance and everything else. But he has managed to probably at least shake up the faith of some of the less mature Christians here. Maybe not here right now, but who are on our group chat. He probably has shaken them up a little bit. There might be one or two thinking, are we a cult? I hope we're not a cult. You know, because this guy says we are, and he has managed that. By the way, one of the first things, as soon as he had joined, and then he wanted to come to the soul winning thing, which I think was probably the only other time we saw him. I think he only came to one church service, did he? Barring the one that he came to at the end. Maybe two. Okay, so, and I better make sure I get this right, because I'm going to get some long essays about this afterwards. Okay. Okay, but, long essays, but he straight away, he wanted to go on the group chat. Okay, so already he's on this group chat, and then soon after, he's shaking up people's faith, isn't he? Now, he's obviously tried to discredit me and our pastor, and again, maybe there are some weaker Christians that are looking at think, well, he must have some sort of point, because there are some other railers and infiltrators online that come out with this sort of rubbish as well. And he's tried to make the former Nioth members feel excluded here, hasn't he? He's tried his best to try and tell them that they are being excluded, which is the opposite of the truth, isn't it? I didn't even want to talk about what happened there. I'm not interested. They've come here. They want to come and join a proper church. Great. Yeah, I've got no problem with them at all. And everyone who went to Nioth knows that. There's been no issue, no problem at all. But I'm not going to preach a whole sermon, preach nearly an hour on a false church and not mention that people shouldn't have gone there, am I? That would be absolutely ridiculous. What, without checking with VJ? It's ridiculous. I don't even have to defend this stuff, I hope, to everyone here. Okay, but maybe he was hoping for a bit of an exodus from our church. Maybe he's hoping that a few people would probably not want to come anymore, be a bit doubtful. Maybe they'll leave further down the line. Maybe once he has his private recorded conversations with people, he'll maybe stir up a bit more, catch them saying something that he can then play back to someone else. You know, and I'm sure but I would doubt that his work's completely finished yet. He's probably going to try a few more things. But we're not fussed, are we? Because we've got, you know, God's warned us of this, and we're going to see in a minute. He's warned us clearly about this as well. He's gone now. Okay, he's gone. And we can all learn some lessons from this, can't we? Every single one here can learn some lessons from this. And for us who only met him recently, it's probably a bit different. Okay, I only met him for the first time, whatever it was, a month or so ago. But there are people here that probably trusted him. Okay, there are people here, and maybe who'll watch this online, that thought he was a friend. Okay, and that's no slight on them at all. Okay, maybe though, they're still thinking that it was just a bit of a misunderstanding, and that VJ's just got a bit annoyed. There must be something that really riled him up. You know, maybe it's just a bit of pride or something else. You know, maybe he's just got a problem with our pastor and Pastor Anderson and me and everyone else in the world. No, but every other safe Christian. Maybe VJ had a fair point that he should have been consulted first, because, you know, that story that, by the way, I clearly said was a story that I'd heard. I didn't say this is 100% fact, I've double-checked, I just said a story that I'd heard did involve his wife. Admittedly, I did say to him when I spoke to him, I'm happy to put on the bottom of the chat, yeah, that your wife wasn't pregnant. Ooh, big deal. You know, the rest of it still stood. But, okay, maybe you're thinking that, but look, yeah, if you're thinking that, if you're still wondering, you're not sure, is this really what he's talking about here in Jude? Look, VJ has fully exposed himself. Okay, let's get that clear. VJ has fully exposed himself for what he is. Okay, he's attacked our pastor. Okay, he's attacked our pastor in some novel. He's attacked Pastor Anderson. He's attacked myself. He's attacked Brother Hooner. His wife, in inverted commas, has attacked Elena and my wife. And that's what I've got in counting so far. I don't know if anyone else has spoken to him. Okay, he's attacked every single one of us because I didn't reply to a message within 24 hours, apparently. Okay, that's just tipped him over the edge. And since his exposing and banning from our church, I've been receiving phone calls from random numbers that don't answer and withheld numbers and the church phone as well. Brother Hooner, I think, has received a missed call as well from him. And maybe that will stop now. Maybe it will continue. I don't really care, to be honest, because I do kind of find the thing amusing as well. Like the messages, the second, like anyone here managed to see the second novel on YouTube before it got removed? Few people here. I mean, it's comical. It is kind of just an insight into the mind of a complete nut job, isn't it? I was reading it just for comedy value last night to my daughter and my wife, just for a laugh, because I just fancied a bit of comedy. It was better than any stand-up I've seen recently. It was brilliant. You know, and the stuff he's coming out with to me, you know, it's just like, you haughty, arrogant fool, Taverner. You know, it was brilliant. You know, I wanted to share it with my family. I knew my brother would get a good laugh with it as well and others. So I'm looking forward to that. But, it was funny, but it is sad as well, isn't it? Because really, you know, I'm looking on the funny side. You know, I'm probably going to get another essay, which will tickle me as well. But truthfully, his intentions are much worse than just trying to give me a good laugh, aren't they? Okay, but like I said, how was he coming to our church with good intentions when he already apparently considers us a cult with an unqualified pastor, etc., etc., etc.? Okay, how was he coming here with good intentions? He considers us unqualified. He considers us a cult. He's made that clear. So for anyone to think, well, he just got a bit annoyed a bit. No, he's clearly exposed what his intentions were. Excuse me, what his intentions were. Okay. He came once to our church, like I said, a request to be added to the group chat. And maybe, like you said, he's just had a bit of a mad moment. No. We are in a battle, okay? We are in a battle. Everyone here needs to wise up, okay? And human nature, and I love that about the majority of people here will probably want to try and excuse it and want to try and give maybe a way back for this guy or to forgive him, to think, well, you know, it's just probably human nature. He's probably just a bit this or bit. No. That would be great. That would be great if there weren't wicked, vile reprobates in this world, but there are. Okay, there are. And they have one intention. One intention is to destroy God's work. Okay, and that is exactly what VJ wanted to do. Okay, and yeah, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. Believe me, I want to give people the benefit. And we gave him the benefit of the doubt to let him in here in the first place. We gave him the benefit of the doubt. And praise God, it was pretty soon after that he revealed himself. Because imagine if it hadn't been. He could have been here for a long time, couldn't he? Because he came in pretending that he was fine, he was happy, wanted to be part of our cult. Yeah. So he was obviously already deceiving many, wasn't he? Or trying to deceive many, and he had done for years. He could have been here a long time. He could have been here buddying up with half the church. And then when he'd been kicked out, would we have lost some of his best friends? Maybe we would have done. Yeah? And look, he is a railing infiltrator through and through. Okay? He is a great example. He's given us all a great example and hopefully something that we can all learn a lesson from. The Bible warns us time and again about these types of people, does it not? Time and again, the New Testament. Turn to Acts 20. Turn to Acts 20 and from verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he's telling the leaders to feed the church of God, because then they're more likely to survive, aren't they, when the wolves come in? Yeah, because what are they feeding them with? The word of God. They're more likely to survive. And part of that feeding is then to recognize the wolves, isn't it? Now, it's not just to, it's not, oh, well, we should have seen him coming. Obviously, we weren't fed enough. It's to recognize them after. Because after they clearly expose themselves, there are still going to be people who are sitting there going, well, I don't know if he's actually a wolf, though. Well, I don't know if he's really, I don't know if he's a reprobate. I don't know if he's really an infiltrator. Because we need to be fed more with this. And that's why there's so many passages in the Bible about this. But it's not, and I don't want to preach it every week. Like I said, I don't want this to become some sort of reprobate hunt church where we're just constantly suspecting everyone. But the truth is, when they revealed, we should just be able to go, yep, wolf, wolf, no doubt. No doubt in anyone's mind that is a wolf. Yeah, he's made it clear as day, hasn't he? Yeah. Clear as day. Okay, the wolf is trying to scatter you. Not because he cares about you. So they want to make out like they care. They don't want the Nioth guys to be victimized by a guy that's so mean that he'd even dare to say they shouldn't have joined that church. You know, the wolf is trying to, he's trying to attack you as well. He's trying to pull you out of church and get you out in the wilderness, isn't he? That's what he wants. He wants you on your own out there. It's not because he cares about you, but he'll pretend he does. Okay, he's saying here that not only will they enter, but they are already here. And for the Nioth guys, that was true, wasn't it? For the Nioth guys, that was true. The wolf was already there. Okay? And again, I'm not trying to do a reprobate hunt, but when they get revealed, let's not all stand there and go, really? No. He was so nice. He was such a good friend. He was so polite. He was my best mate or anything else. When they reveal themselves, when the fangs come out and the ears pop out of the outfit, okay, and that's what happens. A tail pops out of the back. When you see them, when you see a wolf, it's a wolf, okay? Okay, it's clear. Okay, speaking perverse things, he said here in Acts. Speaking perverse things, like about pastors' children. Like constantly attacking pastors' children. Just quickly on that. Let's just quickly put that to bed, yeah? These people, like, somehow now they're not blameless. So where's your line? Where's your line with a kid that misbehaves? Yeah, I know they did some bad stuff. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, that was pretty wicked, wasn't it? That was wicked. Yeah, and those pastors will be the first to say that. Okay, but those children have been corrected. They've repented. If they continue to do that, if we were just looking at stuff all the time, then sure, then you could go, okay, wait a second. That child's accused of right or unruly. But what are you going to say, that a kid can't do anything wrong? Oh, no, okay, they can't do what wrong? So what is it? Where's your line? Where's your line? You know, these guys that are constantly attacking the pastor's children with something. What is it, a year ago now? Yeah? Yeah? What, we're just going to keep going? What, we're going to be talking about that in 5 years' time while the kids are serving God and doing things for God? Oh, no, because they once did something wrong. No, had they not moved on, had they not accepted the correction, had they not stayed submitted to their parents, sure, then there'd be a problem. But they did, didn't they? They did. Yeah. And then what's the next thing? Well, that kid punched a kid in the face. They're accused of right or unruly. Oh, wait a second, they got whooped. They apologised. No, not enough. Like, where's your line? There is no line, is there? Because it's whether or not they're submitting. But no one said perfect children, did they? Okay, children that, you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Is it not? But the rod of correction shall drive far from it. And that's what they got. They got some rods of correction for that, didn't they? And they haven't done it again. Okay, but they'll keep going on, perverse things about the pastor's children. And I've seen more than that. I've had messages, private messages, from anonymous YouTube accounts trying to attack our pastors and other pastors' children. Okay, Paul said watch to the leaders, didn't he? Okay, and that's our job. That's our job, as my job as a leader of this church, Pastor Thompson's job as a pastor of this church, to watch for these types of people. Okay, and now they've revealed themselves. There is no, this guy is clearly unsaved. He is a reprobate through and through, and there is no coming back. Okay, because otherwise we're not being vigilant. Otherwise, what am I going to do? Invite him in to just start trying to relax people again? Because he will do that with time. Oh, well, he must have been okay. Especially if we just go, yeah, come back in. No. Okay, no way. Okay, he warned them for 3 years night and day with tears. Do you think he was wondering if this would happen? Do you think it was just on the off chance? Or do you think he said this will happen, it shall happen, they shall enter in? Okay, and that's not just the one. This is going to happen time and time again. It has with every other church that's trying to work and trying to serve God properly. And it will continue. Yeah, it's not going to happen down at Repent of Your Sins Baptist. It ain't going to happen there. It might. It will maybe if there's enough saved people there. We saw it down at Bethel. There were some wolves in there, weren't there? But it's only because there were some saved Christians going there and going out soul winning and meeting together. But I tell you what, it will happen here. It will happen here again and again and again. Okay? And when it happens, we're not going to see necessarily before. There are some signs. But when it does happen, we need to be able to just go, yup, wolf. Done. Not start questioning. Why have they been kicked out? Oh, they were so nice. No. Okay, and we are doing a work for God here, aren't we? What are we up to? 400. He didn't say some, he didn't say a few, many. The only positive about him is that he's a bad one. Okay? He couldn't keep his ears in his costume long enough, could he? Just couldn't resist. And once the fangs came out, boy, did they come out. Boy, did they come out. Like I said, that first novel, as one of our brothers like to call it, on our group chat, that was the lighter one. You should have seen the second one, okay? I mean, it just got worse and worse. The second load of verbal diarrhea was much, much worse in terms of just clearly showing what an absolute psychopath he was, okay? It was clear as day. It was just going, I mean, it was just insult after insult, anything he could try to get a reaction, and then kind of going back at themselves after, I apologise if I get this wrong, but then insult after it, it's just like, it was, you know, the ramblings of a madman, okay? Now it says here, he was before of old ordained unto this condemnation. Talking about verse 4 here in Jude, okay? He said, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So basically, people like VJ have been around for a long time, haven't they? They've been around a long time. There's nothing new under the sun. It says here, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But he was a man of God, wasn't he? He went soul winning. He must have been saved. It must just be a misunderstanding. He must have just gone a bit funny now. Did Judas not go soul winning? For 3.5 years, did Judas not go soul winning? In fact, he was so convincing that they doubted themselves before him. Didn't they? He was that convincing that they started questioning, are they the problem rather than him? Okay, that's how convincing he was. Now, we just read, didn't we, in Acts 20:30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Okay, and like I said, to be convincing, they had to be soul winning. They appear to get salvations as well, but those people aren't saved. Okay, no way are they saved. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and from verse 15. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, they are in sheep's clothing. And for us, for this sort of church, that includes soul winning, doesn't it? If they came in and never went soul winning, they never did anything, and they never appeared to get what seems to be a salvation, their sheep's clothing would be pretty rubbish, wouldn't it? Okay? They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Was VJ a false prophet? Yes. Okay, so maybe no one here has heard him preach any false gospel, any sorts of damnable heresy yet. But I have no doubt that had he been here long enough, eventually it would have come out. Eventually it probably would have come out. Now, his style maybe wasn't. You know, maybe it wouldn't. But I'll tell you what, he's a psychopath reprobate. He's unsaved. He cannot believe the gospel. Okay, he cannot. It's impossible. Okay? Verse 16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Jesus said they cannot bring forth good fruit. Okay, it's clear, isn't it? They cannot bring forth good fruit. Verse 19 says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Who do we know that VJ has personally won to the Lord? Anyone know anyone that he's personally won to the Lord, apart from, he's apparently, we found out recently, his wife. Okay? VJ's wife, and by the way, I'm not saying right, anyone here who hasn't got someone that they could personally show, no, because as we know, the majority won't come to church. The majority won't become a disciple. But just because he seems to be leading people in prayer, like Pastor Thompson said, he saw Tyler Baker pray with people. Does that mean he's saved? No way. And like I said, apparently his wife, it is wife for me, like we've just seen there, haven't we? We've just seen there where it says, where are we? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. From verse 17. And his wife was as venomous as him. When I was in there privately with them, I mean, she was saying, you wanted to say this, you wanted to say that. Okay? And look, that's a hard thing to get your head around. Okay? That what could both of them? Well, firstly, he's an evil tree. Okay, so she can't have got saved through him. But he brought forth corrupt fruit, hasn't he? And whether they're, I don't know how they get together, how that works with these reprobates, but that does happen often. It's couples. Okay, I'm not saying that everyone, all right, that's it, only keep an eye on couples. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it just because there's a couple, it doesn't mean that they're not. Okay. Right, verse 4. It said here, back in Jude verse 4, it said, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lasciviousness is looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness. So I believe they do this by rejecting grace. Because they've rejected it, haven't they? They've rejected the gospel, or at least a knowledge of God, to pursue their own lusts. And then they deny God in the process, don't they? Okay? Verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, so you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. What he's saying is, amongst those in the Exodus, there were reprobates. Okay? Amongst those in the Exodus, there were reprobates. Now, how do they believe not? You're thinking, what do you mean, like the plagues of Egypt, the miracles, the Red Sea parting? What, they didn't believe that? What do they think happened? What, the sea just suddenly got some sort of tidal wave? No, it's the gospel that they didn't believe. They didn't believe the gospel, did they? They rejected the gospel. Okay, verse 6 says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So these are what we call devils and are basically reprobate angels. He's giving us another version of a reprobate. They're reprobate angels. That's what devils are. They can't believe. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So verses 5, 6 and 7 here are all examples of reprobation. Everyone is examples of reprobation. The going after strange flesh is the sodomy of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? It's the sodomy of Sodom and Gomorrah. Men with men. Women with women. Okay? We know the rest of that. I think everyone here probably understands that. Okay. They're all an example of this. And notice how the fire is eternal. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That's in the depths of hell, okay? The depths of hell, and that's where every single one of these people are going and will go and cannot prevent themselves from going once they're reprobated. Verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Likewise. Did he not say likewise? Again, these men that creep in unawares likewise defile the flesh. Likewise to the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, men and women, children as well. Look, this is a hard truth, Okay, this is a hard truth. These infiltrators, these wolves that you think are your friends, are actually vile reprobates. They are vile reprobates. Okay, that is a hard truth, I think. Especially when they're people that you felt you've been friends with. People that might have even been around your house and you've been to theirs. People that you've sat with, that you've had dinners with, you've been out soul winning with. That when they're exposed, you've got to understand that they're perfectly capable of this. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They're perverts. Okay? And I have no doubt in my mind that Vijay and his wife are both perverts. I have no doubt, because they fit the exact description because of what their motivation is. They're perfectly capable of sodomy and all sorts of other disgusting defilements of the flesh. And I'm not reprobating people, God is. Okay? Because the more we go through this, the more you're going to see fits this. This is what these people do and this is what these people are. One of the reasons that we're family integrated is because of this sort of thing. But please, please, keep an eye on your kids. Okay, look, you're not better off going out of a church like this, okay? Don't think, well, I don't even want to be here if that's what we're dealing with. No, you're not. Because you go to the false church, you're going to have the same. You go out into the world and go out of God's protection, then it's same as if you kick someone out of church or out of God's protection, you're going to have problems anyway, okay? The devil's on you, you're saved, okay? The safest place is this church, but our children, like I preached this morning, our children are loaned to us. Okay, even a small building this size, there are places and areas. Okay, don't leave your kids to just do what they want. Don't just leave them to go and do things on their own where you don't know where they are and what they're doing. Because the truth is, we've just had someone in here who, according to the Bible, is a pervert. According to the Bible, is a sodomite. And he's been mingling and around us and our children. Okay, get that into your heads, parents. Okay, that's the truth. No, I'm not saying we have to have them on a lead. I'm not saying that. But please be aware of where your kids are, what they're doing. I'm not saying you have to distrust everyone in the church. We should love people and care for them, but you've got to keep an eye on your kids. You've got to. Because they're coming in to attack us. They're coming in to attack us, to destroy our church. Fortunately, their overriding goal is usually infiltration and destruction. Fortunately, that is their overriding goal. Okay, but these are perverts. Through and through. Verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Oh, they sure do despise dominion. They hate leadership. They hate it. Now, 2 Peter 2, I don't know if you're aware, is a parallel passage to this. Okay, it's bizarre how parallel it is. And that to me tells me how important this message is. How massively important this passage of scripture is, and 2 Peter 2 is, this message and what it's trying to explain to us. Okay, and you're not going to hear it preached in most churches in the world, are you? Let's be honest, because it's not a real feel-good message, is it? Okay, in 2 Peter, if you just want to flick there, keep a finger in Jude. 2 Peter 2, verse 10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Okay, in the lust of uncleanness, and I've just explained that, yeah? The lust of uncleanness, these are unclean people. Okay, they despise leadership. He's not talking about the government, those lovely people up there in Downing Street. He's not talking about that. He's talking about leadership. They despise it. Presumptuous is bold and arrogant to excess. Okay, again, I'm sure you're seeing the parallels here with this lovely example that we've had here. And that, along with the pride... That, along with the pride, that despise of leadership was the undoing of Vijay, okay? That was his undoing, because I'm sure he would have liked to have stayed here longer, although he probably felt he had a good enough reason to attack. But obviously, their pride is brimming. It's one of the descriptions of a reprobate, the pride. The hatred in his eyes when he spoke to me on Sunday in that room. His voice was shaking with rage. Because I preached a sermon that didn't acknowledge that he exposed Salam. And like someone, I think Brother Lee, put on a YouTube comment before they got deleted.
Salam exposed himself 3 years ago by becoming an unqualified pastor, you idiots. It wasn't news. Oh, wow, Salam. He was a false pastor. Thank God for Vijay. Oh, amen to that brave, courageous. Oh, what, you absolute imbecile. Okay, but like I said, that was his undoing. The hatred he had for me, Pastor Thompson. Didn't he have some hatred for Pastor... The Canadian, he was calling him. I don't know where that came from. Pastor Anderson. Knowing that a lot of people have and probably still do see Pastor Anderson as one of their leaders because of all the massive things he's done in a lot of people's lives. Hoona, for daring to lead UK soul winning. That's the truth, isn't it, Brother Hoona? That's probably why the hatred, because wasn't that he got called a wolf? It was probably before that for just daring to, at the time, be the leader of UK soul winning. They hate it. They despise government, dominion. They speak evil of dignities. And that's another clear giveaway. People that despise leadership, and yeah, they'll keep it quiet. They'll look like they don't. But deep down, he had a hatred. He had a hatred for leadership. It says here in verse 9 of Jude, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Okay, you don't have to turn it, but in Deuteronomy 34, we see that Moses' sepulchre was unknown to anyone. Okay, it was unknown to anyone. And maybe the devil wanted it, maybe it would have become some sort of idol or something. But the point is that Michael the archangel wouldn't even bring railing accusations against the devil of all people. Okay, and that's the point. It's like he wouldn't even do that against the devil. But these reprobates aren't afraid to speak evil of anyone, are they? God's anointed, the pastor of this church. He's not scared of that, is he? Not scared at all. Verse 10 says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Okay, so they speak evil of things which they have no understanding of. And that's what we've just seen, haven't we? He's got absolutely no understanding of that situation, of what happened afterwards, of even the pastor's qualifications. He's clearly shown that for 3 years anyway, as a more mature Christian. Again, I'm not having a go at all the Nioth guys here, how mean that would be. But this was a guy who seemed to actually be more of a mature Christian when he joined that church, apparently. Although, obviously, deep down we know he wasn't. He was actually an infiltrator, a reprobate. But the funny thing is that they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, that's dumb animals, yeah? In those things they corrupt themselves because they're so disgustingly corrupted themselves. What absolute hypocrites. So how can a hypocrite like this be constantly railing on our pastor, his kid, other pastors, their children? And really, you're just some vile, wicked reprobate with unclean lusts, all lasciviousness. It's just amazing. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. Now, it's an interesting passage here because the fowls are circling. This is an interesting passage because this is three different types of reprobate here. So you've got Cain that murdered his brother Abel. Why? Well, 1 John 3:12 says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. They want to destroy men of God because of envy, jealousy. This is like that covetous psychopath that just wants what they've got, but they're too wicked to have it. Now, Balaam here was the false prophet from Numbers 22 that we spoke about recently. Okay, 2 Peter 2:15, again, like I said, is parallel. You can have a look at it if you want. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So this guy was a prophet for hire. It was all about the money. Okay, and you could, I don't know if he is or not, or if he's just an idiot, but you could maybe say Salam could fit that, or obviously we've seen much worse, haven't we? So these false prophets where it's all just about the money, okay, that's that style. Kori, Now, he was the rebellion division causer from number 16. Again, we looked at this recently. Have a look at number 16 and verse 3. Okay, number 16 and verse 3 says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" Okay, so this was all about causing an uprising against the leadership. Okay, he took many men with him. This is that uprising, that rebellion. And gainsaying is contradicting, denying, opposing. Okay, no, but there are three, I think, different styles there. You've got the jealous, covetous destroyer of Cain, the murderer. He's just out to destroy. You've got the greedy lover of money, Balaam. And then you've got the rebellious divider, Cori, who just wants to divide that church and pull them with him. Now, sure, you know, there are probably a lot of crossovers there. And there are people that probably fit a bit of both, maybe all three. But there's an interesting three there, aren't there? Three different types there. What was he? I don't know, probably a combination of Cain and Cori, maybe. Maybe Cain, a part of the destruction, was just as he kind of tried to destroy, take those with him. But there was a lot of anger, there was a lot of attempted destruction, wasn't there, there? Which you'd imagine you'd need to murder your brother, wouldn't you? Verse 12 says, "These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Okay, they infiltrate, they feast with you without fear of exposure. They're spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. Now, again, turn to 2 Peter 2. You're thinking, oh, but we ate together, we hung out together. 2 Peter 2, verse 13. "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." They get pleasure from conning you. They enjoy it. They get pleasure. They're sporting themselves. That's like it's a game. It's fun to be conning people, to be eating with them, feasting with them, when really they know that they hate you. They hate your church. They want to destroy your church. Clouds they are without water, carried about a winds. And that makes me think of Ephesians 4:14, where it talks about that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So maybe that's because they're unsaved that they believe all sorts of false doctrine. Maybe they're carried about, they're blown about like that. Whether or not, again, if they're a good wolf, they're not going to make that clear, are they, to the congregation? But deep down, they probably believe all sorts of crazy wickedness, don't they? Obviously, we see ones going to oneness and all sorts of stuff like that. Even though that is bizarre, isn't it? It's absolutely bizarre. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And like I said earlier, they can't get people saved. Their fruit dies, yeah? They can't get people saved. They're twice dead. There's no way for them because the Lord has rejected them. Verse 13 says, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Okay, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. And again, VJ has given us a great example of this, isn't he? A raging wave of the sea, foaming out his own shame. Because that's all it was, wasn't it? His own shame. Like I said, those who managed to read that second piece on YouTube, I mean, the rage was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And because I didn't acknowledge that he exposed... It's just ridiculous. And I'm not even going to bother trying to defend, you know, because I don't think anyone really needs to hear that, because it's so ridiculous. But it was comical, wasn't it? Capitals... trying his best to belittle, get a response, name call. And then, you know, things like, "You haughty, arrogant fool," yeah? And there goes submissive little taverner again. You know, it was funny. But he was just foaming at his own shame. Because that's really all he did. He was just exposing himself. Anyone who read the first lot was just like, "Wolf, you know? Just like, how ridiculous, yeah? It's just like, wow. Like, he just literally just foamed out his own shame. Now, just on that, yeah, there's a funny thing here where I'm of the opinion, and I don't know, I'd be interested to chat about this afterwards, yeah, but reading Matthew 7, and of course, you know, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He's talking to false prophets there. Amen. But what, listen to him, they believe that they've done things in the name of God. Yeah. They believe deep down that they're somehow saved by their works, don't they?
Yeah.
So, probably if he listens, I'll be, you know, maybe he doesn't, maybe he's just gone, but if he listens to this, he's going to be sitting watching, basically calling me a railer or whatever else, because he's going to be saying, no, I'm a man of God, because they actually must believe it, to be standing there in front of Jesus going, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, have we not done that? It's a crazy thing to think about, because before I used to think, well, they're just pure evil, they know full well. No, they hate us, deep down they do hate Jesus Christ, really, but they've kind of managed to cover that with their own works and their own, you know, look what we've done in their own version, another Christ. And they think that they're actually doing a work. And this is what is so, because it kind of, then you start to see it because you're like, these guys, yeah, how are they? All over these churches with 500, 1,000, a few thousand subscriptions, a few hundred watching their sermons, railing accusations, false accounts, you this, you that, where we're the only select whatever, how many handfuls of churches in the world going out and preaching the gospel week in, week out, and you think you're some sort of crusader for God because you're trying to bring them down. I mean, it's just amazing. Why wouldn't you be on Joyce Meyer's pages? Why wouldn't you be on all these false prophets, wicked false prophets? Why wouldn't you be all over them if you really cared? So it's this weird thing where they've convinced themselves they're doing a work for God. They've convinced themselves that, and they're attacking us, and they've kind of told themselves that we're just these evil people that are the only ones going out and spreading the gospel. So they can't believe the gospel, can they? They can't. They can't. They are. They're absolute scum. And Romans 1 says they're filled with maliciousness. Doesn't that make sense, doesn't it? So malicious. Implacable. Unmerciful. And for sure, this guy's implacable, unmerciful. Like I said, there's many more to come. This isn't just a sermon on Vijay, or he'd like me to call him Kumar, apparently. Apparently that because we're no longer on first name terms for not replying to his message. But implacable, unmerciful, for sure. Hey, and like I said, you know, I don't think this will be the end of it. 2 Timothy 3 calls them false accusers and fierce. They're fierce, aren't they? Yeah, that was some fierce stuff. Especially, like I said, those second couple of messages. Like, I also got copies to my WhatsApp. But like wandering stars, they'll be cast into outer darkness. Amen to that. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, make no mistake about it. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, it was Enoch that walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, yeah? Now, the prophecy, I think, seems to be of the Battle of Armageddon at the end of God's wrath before the millennial reign of Christ, yeah? And this is talking about, obviously, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the kings of the earth, and their reprobate armies. Yeah, that's their reprobate armies that are, you know, taken the mark, gone through the wrath. This is this at the end. And he says here, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So these reprobate infiltrators are murmurers, complainers, always finding something to moan about. They try to appear justified in complaining, don't they? Justified in complaining. However small it is, they're trying to find something all the time. Okay, problems with the church's policy on this or that is what will go on at church. So what will happen here? What will happen here? Worried about the unsaved or newly saved. You know, they're going to find something to have a complaint, a problem, like they just appear to be so righteous. But it's constantly trying to find fault, trying to find problems. Worried about, oh, well, this group in the church, the poor Nioth guys, that's what he's really worried about. Because how righteous is he? But really, it's for their own goal of division, isn't it? It's for their own goal of division. Often they sound so holy, don't they? And this is what happens at these churches, you know, the holier than now. That everything is scripture and spiritual, isn't it? Everything's answered with scripture. You know, everything's a scripture quote and how spiritual they are, you know. And these are the swelling words. It's not just the intelligence. It could be the scriptural responses. And don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with scripture. But, you know, people who try and lift themselves up. Or they're just so kind. That's another one, the swelling words of kindness. They just care so much about people. Oh, they're just such a nice person. Or with Vijay, it was, oh, so intelligent. His swelling words, you know, that's what he attempted, wasn't it? Attempted to sound so clever in his rambling nonsense. Oh, so wordy, you know. Everyone's a fool, a blithering idiot, tiny brains, you know, and the rest of it. And maybe, though, maybe some do start to admire people like that. Maybe over a few years, maybe some guys that have been friends with him did start to admire and think, yeah, that's a clever guy, really clever guy. You know, he's got a PhD or whatever else. You know, what a clever guy. It could be, you could learn a lot from this guy. You know, or like I said, the other styles, maybe they're just so spiritual, such Bible knowledge. They're just so kind. They're such a good person. They really care. I wish I was more like them. You know, great swelling words. So intelligent. What an intellect. What an intellect. You know, and people do. People get sucked in, don't they, by that stuff? But what does he say in verse 17? But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, these words are spoken in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, where it says, knowing this first, that there shall come the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Okay, mockers, scoffers, one who scoffs, one that mocks, derides or reproaches in the language of contempt, a scorner. And we've seen a lot of that, haven't we? Okay, we've seen a lot of that over the last week. And that's again, one of the many pictures, one of the many stars of these people. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So eventually they separate themselves, don't they, as we've just seen. Hoping to take many with them, hoping to take at least some with them. But before that, they seem to like the little private chats, these people, the one-on-ones, the small groups, the little secret meetings, secret conversations, little quiet whispers, you know, about your private information. And they love to be privy to little things that no one else does, okay? They like to separate themselves with people. But again, just to make it clear, these aren't saved Christians in a bad mood. Okay, this wasn't a saved Christian in a bad mood. He's just said here, and he's making it clear, he says, having not the Spirit. Okay, Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, verse 20 of Jude says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And this is the Christian's response, okay? So he's just explained it all, and this is the Christian's response. Building up yourselves, grow in faith, prayer. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Okay, we should keep his commandments, shouldn't we? That's how we're going to be protected. That's how God will help us through this sort of thing. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Okay, keep your eyes fixed on the prize, eh? Keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Remember where we're going. Remember what this is all about. It's about eternity, eternal security, about salvation. And when we're following God's commandments, we're living for God, we've got salvation on our minds, we're soul winning, Then we lead into verse 22. And of some have compassion, make a difference. He's not talking about the reprobate here. He's made it clear that they are reprobates. Okay? Now we're talking about when you're in that. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And we should have compassion, shouldn't we, when we're out giving the gospel? We should all have compassion. These are great verses. I mean, you could preach so many sermons out of this chapter, but for sake of time, I'm gonna hurry up now. But we should, shouldn't we? We should have compassion. It's something to keep on our minds. Verse 23 says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Okay, and others do need that fear of hell, don't they? They do. They need that fear of hell. Now, those who are a bit mocky and scornful at the door, something I've started doing a bit more recently is just leaving them Romans 6:23 and just explaining where that death is. Because I think if you're just going to mock, go, whatever, okay, leave a verse. And it's like, okay, well, the wages of sin is death. You know, and let them know, because they need that fear, don't they? Some people don't have that fear at all, do they? Okay, but he says here, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And just quickly on that, he said save, didn't he? He told us to save with fear. Who's being told to save? Us, yeah? God does the saving. Only Jesus does the saving. No, he told us to save with fear, didn't he? Okay, and I won't go off on one on that, but that really winds me up. Okay, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I believe that it's hating the flesh there, the sin that sends them to hell. Okay? I believe that it's hating that flesh, hating that sin. Verse 24 and 25 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So he's wrapping it up here, isn't he? Saying, look, God is able to protect you from these wicked scumbags. He is able to protect you, isn't he? We don't have to fear them. We don't have to be scared of them. Now, we might fail, but he's able to present us faultless. He is able, isn't he? Okay? Able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And it sounds like a rough deal at church, because you can look at this, you can read these passages and think, oh, no, if I really want a part of this, it sounds pretty grim. What happened to the country club, you know? What happened to the, you know, just kind of kumbaya and everyone's just having a great time? And look, church is a great time. Church is a great time. And look, we don't have to fear. We don't have to be scared. Yeah, we need to be aware. Yeah, we need to do what God tells us to. We do need to, like I said, look after our children. We do need to be aware of people like this. We do need to not be shocked when it happens. But still, with all of that, he says, before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. And, you know, like I said, I think we can have exceeding joy, even with these brute beasts around. Okay? Okay. But that comes from trusting God's wisdom about these people, not our own. Okay, that comes from us trusting what God tells us, not our own trying to put it back into our human way of thinking, our own mind. Well, no, I just think he's probably just, and you fill in the blank. Okay, God's made it clear. He's ticked every one of these boxes as far as I'm concerned. This is clear as day. Thank you, VJ. It's been amazing. You really have helped us here just to really understand this passage better. It's great to have an example. Maybe I should have had a picture here and a whiteboard that I could just point at as well. But no, it's really helped. So I really appreciate that. And to the only wise God, our Saviour. Amen. And praise God that he's given us all of this, that he showed us how clear it is, and we can understand this fully. And thank you, VJ, for being a help in all of that. And on that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you give us all the warnings. You give us the descriptions that we need. And thank you for exposing VJ. And please just expose more wolves as they come. But help us not to just be unloving and uncaring to each other and constantly worried about each other. But help us to also be aware of the tactics, aware of the ways that these people work. And help us not to behave like that. Those of, you know, all those here that are just saved men of God, help us not to exhibit any of these characteristics, because they're all wicked ways of living, wicked ways of being. And just help us to be more like you want us to be. Help us to just be a strong church. Strengthen us from this. Please protect us. Please keep us bold. Keep us courageous. Keep us coming here and enjoying that time we have together, that fellowship. And Lord, help us have a great week and gather back here next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.